Welcome to this week's podcast. I am Jason Barton, and I am your host. Today's date is October 9th. I have a few cohorts here with me.
Gingy the Red, April.
As well as...
Movie Nerd, 5,000.
A.K.A.
Chris.
Okay.
And what podcast is this again, Jason?
I forgot. What podcast is this?
Oh, I guess we're in Glorious Geeks again.
Yep.
Yay!
Why do you want to make it so loud? I don't want to say it.
What?
Exactly. So, tonight, we're going to go ahead and start off with blue posts from Blizzard.
Why am I not surprised?
Wait, no, we're not, because there weren't any, unfortunately.
What?
Dun, dun, dun. Well, they were just kind of, they're getting ready for BlizzCon right now. So they really have not been releasing a lot of stuff. Because BlizzCon is just a few weeks away.
Which, in other words, means we just have to glean the information which we've already gained by ourselves.
Pretty much. So we're going to pretty much be working on what we already know from the game.
Cool.
So, on that note, BlizzCon online merchandise sales begin October 12th. Ninja Pepe for to win.
Pass. No thanks.
Yeah. He's actually just the Pepe before, and it looks like they just kind of added some extra, like, black cloth stuff to his head, so
no,
I'm not going to buy any BlizzCon stuff.
No.
I never do. It's always overpriced, but there was some pretty cool stuff. This, if I was a girl, I might want to buy some little, like, Shaw things or whatever they had, because they look pretty cool, but I'm not a woman, so we don't have to worry about that. Anyways.
Who says I want one?
I didn't say you wanted one.
I'm a woman.
Well, you might want one, then.
I don't do shawls.
You have to go buy BlizzCon tickets, though, to get the pre...
I don't do shawls.
True enough.
Yeah. Well, that's shawful of you.
If you took advantage this week, you were able to possibly get your profession up to 800 due to Black Moon or Dark Moon
Fair. Yeah, that would help you get some of those last points that you need. Oh, yeah, speaking of that.
Thank you. And I appreciate that, Jason. You helped me out with that last week.
Yeah, so, yeah, if you got Dark Moon Fair going on, well, it's too late now, so you're going to have to wait till the next one. But if you took advantage of it, you can get that extra plus 5 points. And my last 20 points are going to be horrible. Luckily, it's only going to be 15, but I still have 15 to go. And I have to proc a flask for my alchemy. And the chances of that seem to be pretty astronomical.
Well, the thing is...
I mean, not astronomical, but really hard. Like, 1 in 200 kind of.
Well, it's like what you said. It's like the problem I had. Once I got a rank 3 crafted item that I could do,
yeah.
That's it, you know, the most recent things I've learned, you'll get something that will max out, and then maybe come the last 5 points, come next Dark Moon, you should be okay.
Well, no. As soon as I get that 3-star, one of the 4 flasks that we need for raiding, then I'm set, because I'll be able to get to my 800, and I'll be able to start making those cauldrons that I need for raid.
Dude, you remember how long it took me to get that last 5 points? How much blood? I just kept chanting over here in the house, blood, blood!
Oh, it's going to take me a good weekend to get that. I'm hoping during this next week that I get my 3-star whatever flask, so
yeah.
Whatever special. Because either way, we're going to have a crap ton of flasks, because I'm going to have to make so many flasks trying to get it, so...
Yeah.
So huzzah!
But raids! Raids,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah, well, raids... Good. Yeah. I already dumped a bunch in the guild bank, so...
No, I'm just talking, we've actually finally gotten far in just raid.
Yeah, we're up to Cenarius now, so...
Yeah, I was surprised when we actually got to them.
Yeah, we kind of whizzed through those last two, actually.
Oh, seriously, I know, it's just like, once we finally figured out the issues with Illagoth, it was just done.
Well, we never tried Ursoc. We beat Ursoc in 2 shots.
Oh,
so.
God, seriously. Ursoc was so fucking easy.
Yeah. Having people who'd already done it, though, it kind of helped.
Yeah.
So they already kind of were able to give us the lowdown on what we needed to do, making it incredibly, incredibly easy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, grats, Raiders. Shout out to I. Good job. Shout out to our Hunters.
Yep.
Shout out to, I think, a Warlock. Maybe some Owl and some Tanks and Ethers. Anyways, if you guys are even listening.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Judy and Haley.
Judy and Haley.
Good
what
job.
You do is you don't say anything to the guild, and if they've been listening, they'll say something.
I can only hope. And then they'll be like, oh, you said something about it in the podcast. Yes. Well, shout out to all the guildies out there and raiders.
Yeah,
so, good job, everybody. And Yeah, so I have some stats here. MMO Champion released the character leveling stats, what people have been leveling. They don't have stats for the Demon Hunters, though.
The graph I saw.
Yeah, the graph you saw. So, guess what class people have leveled the most this expansion?
Chamois.
Locks.
Nope.
Hunters.
Nope.
I was about to say, no.
It kind of surprised me.
Mages? Rose.
No.
Rogues.
No.
Warriors.
No.
DHs. Or DKs.
No.
Definitely. Monks?
They're the worst. No.
Fuck
Not
you,
as
monks.
Many people are playing monks this expansion.
Fuck you, monks. Yes.
So, number one is paladins.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I leveled mine, so.
I know you leveled
But it's not my main.
Exactly.
So,
your main is freaking, you know.
My druid, which is number two. Probably because they have the four specs that you can play and take advantage of.
I keep forgetting that you play a druid, not a chamois. I'm always thinking chamois, but I don't know why.
Well, sham on you.
Yes. Sham on me. Yes.
So yeah, they released some stats.
So Pally...
Paladins, 14%. Druids, 13.8%. Warriors, 12.7%. Hunters, 4th.
That's right. 12.3%.
And then Shamans at 11.9%.
The Hunters, they've actually cleared up a lot of the Hunter stuff, I think. I'd actually be curious to see any of the other Hunter legendary items, now that I've acquired one, and that one has been helping me out tremendously.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I'm enjoying it.
Perks are good, you know, and better gear is better gear.
Better gear.
And that's really what it matters in this expansion when better it comes to rating, is better gear. So,
I mean, I've heard reports now that WoW is actually up to, like, 10 point some million official
subscribers
right now. Which
yeah, but they don't actually release those numbers anymore, because they were ashamed of it, I think.
Yeah, I listened to a YouTuber called, named Panzer.
The only way that we'll be able to get that information is if they officially release it, though. Blizzards of the Coast. Blizzards of the Coast! Blizzards of the Coast!
Blizzards of the Coast!
Oh my god, yes,
oh my
Blizzard.
Gosh. Oh,
you tell he's played D&D and WoW in one day?
You've just named the conglomeration of doom. Blizzards of the Coast.
Blizzards of the Coast. That's it.
No,
you
just named a conglomerate that's going to destroy condoms.
Oh... No, apparently one of the higher ups was doing an interview, according to Panzer on Trade Chat, that this guy was being interviewed that's from Blizzard and said that the currently at like 10.1 million subscribers, which doesn't include people that were given a free copy of the game. As long as you paid for the game, like if you paid for it and you got your free 30 days, you count. Anyone that's paying the normal $14.99 a month counts. And I don't think it differentiates between here. I think it's everybody. So us and the Euro markets and all that. But, you know, I'd have to re-listen to it again. I know she had many thoughts on her top 9 favorite things about the current expansion, but... That's another conversation.
Yeah, well, me personally, unless I actually see an official post by Blizzard saying, or, like, public release of their numbers, I'm not going to believe anything that's out there.
Okay.
So,
skeptic.
I am a skeptic, because I want WoW to do well, don't get me wrong.
Oh, so do I.
So, I want those numbers to be up there.
I'm enjoying
it,
finally.
But they combined them into a weird kind of category, so they could add in all the other users. So,
well, you mean from, like,
Hearthstone,
allegedly. Anywho.
But anyways, we'll skip that. Anyways, so my last thing I want to mention, if you guys haven't been keeping up, World Firsts for Mythic Xavius, Exorcist posted their kill video. So you can actually watch them killing Xavius.
On Mythic.
They always hold off on releasing their videos because they don't want other guilds to kind of know how they killed them.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of official thing. So, so grats you Russians.
Good job, you Russians.
I learned something.
What'd you learn?
Since hitting a level 110, that when I'm actually at home playing by myself, when I don't have Jason here to do stuff with me, I'm kind of ADD about questing.
Oh, here's a quest.
I'll go here. You know what? I think I'll go here. You know what? I think I'm going to do this. No, I need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I'm done, I'm amazed I'm not in Stormwind.
Oh my god, seriously. Oh, believe me, I've been going back and doing pet quests. I need to get myself some level 25. That's me. I I finally explored all of the Eastern Kingdoms, finally.
Woo! I saw that.
I need to get the explorations done, because I have the Explorer title. I just want to keep it updated.
Keep it current.
Little Dora.
Yeah, sorry. Little things.
Oh my gosh, that would be a great name for my next tune.
Dora?
Because I already have the title.
I've seen somebody with Dora the Explorer title.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't get creative.
Very true.
So, that was all I had.
Yeah, good watch. I'm impressed with how we've done with the raid. The mythic that we did, yesterday morning.
Oh, yeah, the mythic runs that people did. Yep.
Violet Hold.
Yeah, trying to gear up them lobbies in our guild everybody's ready.
And don't get me wrong, I like all of our guildies, but considering that I'm the top hunter and everyone else has got, like, one-fifth the health I do, which is ridiculous. I know I was the most underpowered, non-rated raiding person, and now I'm, like, freaking up there with freaking Miz.
Yeah, I'll probably start World of Logging stuff just so that we have stats on everybody. Yeah. So at least I can go into before we start going into heroics.
Exactly.
With numbers and all that, I'll know everything. Because, I mean, our numbers are looking pretty good for, like, us trying to get back into the heroic section stuff of this. So
I mean, we're doing decently well.
But, I mean, the thing is they've got 7.1 in PTR right now. Mm-hmm. So, 8 weeks.
Karazhan's coming.
So Karazhan is coming in a couple months. So we only have 8 weeks of raiding before we have to worry about the next set of content. Yep. So, which is probably on par with or on task with us. Although we may not get Xavius down on heroic by that time. So,
but
we'll see because we already know the fights. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we just got to worry about the extra mechanics.
Damn straight.
So
I know I need to go through. I'm hoping to go through a couple of more mythics with the rest of the guild because I need some for several quest lines, including doing just freaking Court of Stars by itself. But that's another story.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to probably set up something on the weekend.
You're a border.
I'm gonna get people in, but I know they were doing mythics this weekend just to try to get some people who didn't have your geared.
Yeah. So if you're in a raiding guild, make sure you guys are doing your stuffs, all of it. Help your fellow guildies.
And I am really tired of class hall missions. Now I remember why I didn't
keep
up with my gears and missions. Because it's boring!
It is a little boring, yeah.
It's fast, though.
It's pat. I mean, the upside is I'm starting to get some that'll give me rep with some of my factions and, you know, that's...
The ones that I get all these rares that I can't do because I don't have the people to do it.
Yeah.
It's getting very frustrating.
Are you making your, armor gear or your gear sets with your one person because that will raise their item level.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. But a side note of the class hall missions, they specifically have that, so we have six people, or five slots,
mm-hmm.
So there's always one set of missions that you won't be able to have two groups of people go out on. So, like, if you send one group out, and then you send the second group out, you're gonna have a missing slot. So, like, mine always seems to be the minion control. One, so, like, the guy, I either have to deactivate one of my guys and then take off one of my bash guys, I think, would probably be my option, but I haven't gotten to that point where I want to spend the gold to switch it out, so.
I've done that a couple of times, but I've actually been able to do three missions at a time with all of my resources.
Oh, I've sent guys on four missions before. But I mean, like, some of the stuff I'm not wanting the bonus loot from, so I'm just going to be like, it's 100%, I'll just send this one guy off.
Exactly.
And here's some treants.
Yeah, exactly, have fun. Have some trainees.
April, I hear there's some famous birthdays coming
up.
Oh, maybe a few.
Ooh. October's a good month for birthdays.
I hear so.
Every month is a good month for birthdays.
Yes, it is. Who we got it?
Alright, well, I wrote in your suggestion. So on today, we've got three people we're going to wish happy birthday. First one is a Mr. John Lennon.
Ooh.
He was born October 9th, 1940, died December 8th, 1980. He was an English singer and songwriter who co-founded the Beatles with fellow member Paul McCartney. Went solo in 1970. In 1975, he disengaged from the music business to raise his son, Sean, but reemerged in 1980 with the new album, Double Fantasy. He was murdered 3 weeks after its release by Mark David Chapman, who shot him in the back four times.
Tragic. Seriously tragic.
Okay. The second birthday for today, I would definitely eat cake in honor of this person. Ms. Sharon Osbourne.
Oh. I thought you were going to say Marie Antoinette when you were saying cake.
She was born 1952.
Ooh.
English television host, media personality, television talent, competition judge, author, music manager, businesswoman, and music promoter. Wonderful what band.
Mm.
And the wife of heavy metal singer-songwriter Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy!
She first came into public prominence after appearing in The Osbournes,
mm-hmm.
reality television show that followed her family's daily life, which I actually enjoyed it.
I did too. I did.
My friend Melissa used to have a bunch of it on DVD. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she had every season. She later became a judge as the British and original version of The X Factor, and she was also a judge in America's Got Talent until 2012.
Yeah, she was. I enjoyed watching her in America's
Got Talent. I read an article that said, you know, because they've been having some issues ever since he had confessed to his indiscretions. But I guess for her birthday, he surprised her on her show with flowers and kissed her. And
oh, on The View?
Yeah.
Aww.
I heard it was really sweet. So I've always been a big fan of Sharon Osbourne.
Oh, yeah, I love Sharon. Sharon's awesome.
I wish I had a mouth like her. Oh, wait, I do.
Yeah.
So the third and the write-in is Mr. Scott Bakula.
Woo!
He was born in 1954. And I don't remember this because it's been so long since I've seen him, but I guess he's been in 5 episodes of Designing Women.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Let's see what else. Necessary Roughness.
I love that movie.
He was in one that looks interesting called In the Shadow of a Killer. What else? Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
I loved him in Quantum Leap.
I know. I love it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
He was in Dream On.
Mm-hmm.
War of Illusion. Sounds interesting.
It was a Clive Barker movie.
He was in 13 episodes of Murphy Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen every episode of that show.
Yep.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, a TV series. Major League, Back to the Minors.
Mm-hmm.
American Beauty.
Yep.
I'm trying to find something good that I recognize.
Star Trek Enterprise?
Hang on, I'm going north. Jeez. Rush, why don't
you? NCIS.
Sorry, I'm a backup.
Yeah, because he didn't get there until 2001, dude.
I know.
Star Trek Enterprise. Thanks, Mr. In a Hurry over here.
Hey.
Star Trek Legacy, a video game. State of the Union, Boston Legal. The Informant, Chuck, he was in
mm-hmm.
7 episodes of Chuck.
Yeah.
He was in The New Adventures of Old Christine. Desperate Housewives. Oh, God, I remember that.
He was in American Beauty.
He's been on,
mm-hmm.
he's been on one episode of Law & Order Special Victims
oh.
Unit. 2.5 Men, one episode. No, I don't want to do a training video. Here's Casper. Then he was on NCIS
mm-hmm.
and NCIS New Orleans.
Yeah, buddy.
So his show was NCIS New Orleans, but he's made 3 cameo appearances on NCIS.
Only way to merge him in, of course.
I love both of them. But I like NCIS better because it has the boy from American Gothic who's from Bama.
Bam.
So those are October 9th birthdays.
Ooh.
October 10th birthdays are definitely varying ranges of the spectrum. I am being molested by a dog.
Hello, Bunny.
Hi, dog. Bye, dog.
Goodbye, dog.
So, October 10th birthday. Seriously, I have like the table monster here.
This interruption brought to you by Bunny.
Huh. Yeah, that's what everyone is. Okay, Giuseppe Verdi, born 1813, died January 27th, 1901. He was an Italian opera composer. Came to dominate the Italian opera scene after the era of Bellini, Donizetti, and Rossini. He has written Rigoletto, Il Trovatore, and La Traviata, just to name a few of his operas. The other birthday, ooh, it's hard to, yeah. Julia Sweeney. she was born in 1959. She was on Saturday Night Live for a while, from 1990 to 1994, so most of you will know her as Pat. Okay. She was also in Gremlins 2, The New Batch, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. I guess she was, I think, the principal in Coneheads. She was in Pulp Fiction, and I'm pretty certain it's a movie called It's Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas Vacation, Stuart Little, Beethoven's Third, Beethoven's Fourth, Clock Stoppers, Father of the Pride, and Monster University, just to name a few. A lot of them I didn't recognize, because I know her mostly from Saturday Night Live. Oh, I have more. Okay. The other one is an actor, a British actor. He's the same age as me and Jason. He was born on October 10th, 1982.
Mm.
His name is Dan Stevens. He was born at Croydon in Surrey. He's known for being in a TV movie version of Dracula, The Cobbler, Knight's Museum, Secret of the Tomb is Sir Lancelot.
Ah!
He's going to be in the upcoming new movie, Beating the Beast. He's going to play the Beast. I'm very excited. But I know him best as Matthew Crawley in Downton Abbey.
Ah.
So, happy birthday, you beautiful British boy. The next one is in the science field. Mr. Henry Cavendish.
Cavendish?
He was born in 1731 on October 10th. Died February 24th, 1810. He was a British natural philosopher, scientist, and an important experimental and theoretical chemist and physicist. But he's best noted for his discovery of hydrogen, or what he called it, inflammable air.
Inflammable air?
So those are October 10th. October 11th. I have two. The first one is a guy called Friedrich Bergius, born 1884, died March 30th, 1949. He's a German chemist known for the Bergius process for producing synthetic fuel from coal. Nobel Prize in Chemistry in recognition of contributions to the invention and development of chemical high pressure methods. So we had more seals. And then our second October 11th birthday is a woman. She was born in 1884, and she died November 7th, 1962. Miss Eleanor Roosevelt.
Hmm.
She's was an American politician, diplomat, and activist, longest-serving First Lady of the United States, having held the post from March 1933 to April 1945. During her husband, President Franklin D. Roosevelt's 4 terms in office, Erin served as United States delegate to the United Nations General Assembly from 1945 to 52. President Harry S. Truman later called her the First Lady of the World in tribute to her human rights achievements. And I guess she's also the niece of President Theodore Roosevelt.
Hmm.
Yay, we love Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yeah.
October 12th is four. I've got four. Two actors and two Brits. No. The first October 12th was born in 1537 and died July 6th. 1553. Yes. He was 15. It was Edward the Sixth. The son of King Henry VIII and Jane Seymour. He was next to take the reign of king when King Henry died.
Oh.
So he was the King of England from January 28, 1547 until his death. He was crowned on the 20th of February at the age of 9. The son of Henry and Jane, he was the third monarch of the Tudor dynasty and England's first monarch raised as a Protestant. During his reign, the realm was governed by a regency council because he never reached his majority.
Mm-hmm.
In February 1553, he fell ill. And when his sickness was discovered to be terminal, he and his council drew up a device for the succession, attempting to prevent the country's return to Catholicism. So he named his first cousin once removed, Lady Jane Grey, as his heir and excluded his half-sisters Mary and Elizabeth. Hence why we have a chick that was queen for like 9 days.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mary said, F this, kill her, and became queen. I know too much British history, I swear. The next one is Josh Hutcherson.
Hmm.
Born 1992, so he is 10 years younger than me and Jason.
92.
I'd be robbing the cradle. Apparently, he was the voice of Markle in the English version of Howl's Moving Castle.
Hmm.
So he was also in the Polar Express. I remember him in Zathura, a space adventure.
Hmm.
He was in RV, Bridge to Terabithia. The new remake of Journey to the Center of the Earth, which I like the original better. He was in Cirque du Freak as the vampire's assistant. I want to see it. I've never seen it. I've heard about it.
Okay.
Journey 2, The Mysterious Island. The Hunger Games.
Hunger Games!
Red Dawn. The Hunger Games, Catching Fire. The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1, and The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2, to name a few.
Just a few.
The third one is a man by the name of Mr. Aleister Crowley. Or as Ozzy likes to say, Mr. Crowley. He was born in 1875, and he died December 1st. 1947, my dad's birthday, made my dad the reincarnation of Aleister Crowley.
No, your dad's not sadistic.
He was an English occultist, ceremonial magician, poet, painter, novelist, and mountaineer.
Huh.
That's an interesting combination.
Well,
he must have climbed a mountain to write a book.
Just a little bit.
Have you told him about the Neverwinter Night Mountains to the north? Or...
Oh,
yeah, that's some in-game humor. Yeah,
in-game humor.
From D&D.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but he founded the religion Thelema, T-H-E-L-E-M-A, identifying himself as the prophet entrusted with guiding humanity into the Aeon of Horus, which is a new era in which humans would take increasing control of their destiny in the early 20th century. He was one of the first to be published in topics of paganism in the United States.
Yeah, if you were to see how this world is nowadays, it's very much a hands-off. People don't want reality.
I can't remember if he was involved in the Gardnerian paganism, or if he just followed it, or if Gardner kind of said, nope, screw that, I'm going to make it a little bit more user-friendly.
Yeah, not so psychotic.
I've read one of Crowley's books. It is really freaking difficult.
Yeah, Crowley's a little...
sadistic and very by the book, very dark.
Crazy headspace.
Yes, but he's very dark. He always did the dark aspects of paganism in his book.
So he's the Rob Zombie of paganism.
Pretty much. Only not as fun.
Yeah, true.
So our fourth birthday on October 12th is Mr. Hugh Jackman. Calm down. It's okay. Because you were in love with him in your past lives as a woman, you know, whatevs.
Who's saying past lives and woman?
You just had a giddy schoolgirl giggle, so we're just going to stop you there. He was born in 1968. He's an Australian actor.
Motherfucker.
Singer.
Motherfucker.
We all know that. Multi-instrumentalist.
Mm-hmm.
Dancer. And producer.
I'd love to see him on stage once.
He's best known for X-Men.
Hell yeah.
A really great movie with Ashley Judd called Someone Like You.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that movie. Swordfish.
Yep.
Yeah.
The one with, what's her name? And Kate Leopold.
Yep.
Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan, yep, that was a good one.
And then he was in X-Men 2.
Mm-hmm.
Van Helsing.
Yep.
Which I actually delved a little deeper into Van Helsing today with my top five.
With Kate Beckinsale.
X-Men The Last Stand.
Mm-hmm.
The Fountain. I actually enjoyed The Fountain.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Very deep. Very deep.
It has a very deep fountain.
What is he doing? It's like very deep. It's like deeper than what dreams may come.
Okay, gotcha. Six is existential. Gotcha.
The prestige.
Mm.
Flushed away. Happy feet. Deception. Unfortunately, he was also in Australia. That was a flat line.
Oh, Australia. Okay, I remember that one, yeah.
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, I'm sure.
X-Men First Class.
Hell yeah.
Rise of the Guardians. Les Mis.
Mm-hmm.
The Wolverine.
Yep.
X-Men Days of Future Past.
Hell yeah.
Chappie. I want to see Chappie.
I've never seen Chappie, yeah.
Pan.
No thanks.
Eddie the Eagle.
Mm, just saw that recently.
X-Men Apocalypse.
Yep.
And that's just to name a few.
Oh, even better yet to top that off. March. He posted on his Instagram very recently. It's going to be early March will be the next standalone Wolverine movie, just called Logan.
Yeah, I already saw that. It's in post-production.
Hell yeah.
Anyways.
He was always my favorite X-Men Wolverine.
Damn straight, man.
Shh.
Well, next to Iceman, of course.
No.
See, Rogue's always been my favorite.
See, I've always been a big Iceman fan, but definitely also with Wolverine.
Jean Grey was kind of whiny. I like Rogue. She's a take care of business kind of gal.
Yeah, but then again, Famke Janssen.
I don't care.
Another time.
Anyways.
Next.
October 13th.
13th.
I've got two.
Hmm.
We got business up front, party in the back.
So we get the mullet birthdays.
Margaret Thatcher. Born 1925.
I miss that.
Died April 8th, 2013.
I miss that British broad.
How would you know you never met her?
I miss her influence in the world.
British stateswoman who was the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom from 1979 to 1990 and the leader of the Conservative Party from 75 to 90. Longest serving British Prime Minister of the 20th century and the first woman to have held office. A Soviet journalist dubbed her the Iron Lady,
mm-hmm.
a nickname that became associated with her uncompromising politics and leadership style. She actually was originally a research chemist.
Really? I did not know that part.
I thought that was interesting.
Well, yeah, that woman was just awesome. I mean, she's just very firm in her beliefs.
I wouldn't mind being a research chemist. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
Being powerful is like being a lady. If you have to tell people you are, you aren't.
Is that a quote of Margaret Thatcher's?
Yeah.
I like that. I might have to have you send that to me.
Cool. All right, so there's the business up front. Where's the party in the back?
Christopher Judge.
Oh, God.
Born 1964, so he's a year younger than my mother.
Hmm.
He's an American actor best known for, and I swear to God, if you jump in, I'm going to smack you. You keep your mouth shut.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, ma'am.
He is known for Bird on a Wire, Snow Dogs, the TV series Andromeda, X-Men Evolution, which is a TV series. He was the voice of Magneto and Magnus. In the Masters of the Universe versus the Snake Men TV series, he was the voice of Zodak or Zeeler. He was in Stargate SG-1
yeah.
and SG-1 Children of the Gods Final Cut, Stargate Atlantis, Stargate Arc of Truth, Stargate Continuum. And I know this because we have them all.
I know you have them all.
The Dark Knight Rises.
Wait, who was he in The Dark Knight Rises?
He was just one of the guards.
Oh, okay.
This is what made me laugh earlier, is the title of this movie, because I wouldn't watch it. It was Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Oh, come
yeah.
on. Sharknado.
I hate Sharknado.
I never what?
But just the title, Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no.
I think they should make a Sharknado 4, but instead of calling it Sharknado, they should just call it Sharkane and make it like a hurricane then.
Oh, don't give them any idea.
And have it swing back and double back around.
Yeah, exactly. It just keeps coming back around every year.
Okay, October 14th. I've got three. Let me see, what's it called?
Sharknado 4, The Fourth Awakens.
Oh,
the Fourth Awakens.
Oh, my
and,
God.
Hold on.
We don't care.
Oh, it's already been out. Never mind.
October 14th, I've got three. So we'll start, you want a president, an actor, or a poet?
I want a poet.
I'd like poets for 1,000, please.
Yes, please.
The poet is also known as Edward Eslin Cummings, or E.E. Cummings.
Oh, okay.
He was born in 1894, and he died September 3rd, 1962. He was an American poet, a painter, an essayist, an author, and a playwright. He is remembered as an eminent voice of 20th century English literature. And I have, well, am going to give Jason a...
list of his notable works?
No. Oh. I'm going to give him a PDF to put on the website of my favorite poem by E.E. Cummings. I will warn you, I would say I would read it, but it's kind of naughty.
Oh, she's naughty. And of course, she had to say that in the British accent.
So, yes, if you want to see my favorite E.E. Cummings poem, you'll have to go to the website. Sorry, everyone.
So go there now, after you hear
this. Oh, I gotta get on the flash drive. It's still on my computer. Okay, do you want the president? Okay. The president was Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Oh, I love Eisenhower.
He was born October 14th, 1890, and died March 28th, 1969. He is, was also known as Ike. You know, I like Ike.
I like Ike.
That was actually a line in that movie, She's All That.
Mike and Ike.
No, I like Ike.
I know.
He was the 34th president of the United States of America from 1953 until 1961. He was also a five-star general in the United States Army during World War II. And served as supreme commander of the Allied forces in Europe. He was responsible for planning and supervising the invasion of North Africa in Operation Torch in 1942 and 43, and the successful invasion of France and Germany in 1944 and 45 from the Western Front.
See, now that is where a real fucking commander-in-chief comes from.
Right.
Five-star fucking
general. He was in the freaking war.
Yes,
planning the freaking war.
Yes.
He was in
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Five-star fucking general.
Speaking of plans are nothing. Planning is everything.
Another quote by Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Yes.
I like that. Thank you. So now we come to the actor. Well, oh, and he also became the first Supreme Commander of NATO.
Ooh. We salute you, sir.
And that was in 1951.
Like I said, I like Ike.
I like Ike.
We need another Ike.
Our actor, well, actress actually, is Miss Lori Petty.
Ah.
She is the same age as my mother.
Oh, there you go.
Born in 1963. She's an American actress, film director, and screenwriter. She's best known for Point Break, A League of Their Own, because, you know, there's no crying in baseball.
Nope, there is no crying in baseball.
And, you know, and Lay Off the High Ones, but I like the
High Ones, yep. Sadly, I know her for a different movie.
That's her. She was in Free Willy, Poetic Justice, In the Army Now, Tank Girl,
that's the one.
The Arrangement. She was actually in one episode of Star Trek Voyager.
Really?
It was the episode entitled Gravity. Her character's name was Noss, N-O-S-S. She was in one episode of Gotham, and she is in Orange is the New Black, to name a few.
Alrighty then.
Okay.
Our last but not least day is next Saturday, October
15.
Do you want the American or the German?
Let's get the German.
Good, because these Germans are hard to pronounce. Luckily, I've taken a lot of philosophy.
Yeah.
Friedrich Nietzsche.
How did I know you were going to say that? When you said philosophy, I knew that you were going to say Nietzsche.
He was born in 1844 and died August 25th, 1900. Made it to the 20th century, bitches.
Woo!
He was a German philosopher. I am so sorry. I'm going to butcher some of these words. Cultural critic, poet, philologist, Latin and Greek scholar whose work has exerted a profound influence on Western philosophy and modern intellectual history. He became the youngest ever to hold the chair of classical philosophy. Philology, whatever, at the University of Basel in 1869. If I can't pronounce it, I don't even know.
Yeah, Basel.
My personal college professor, when I went to SMC, how I always remembered Nietzsche's, if we were talking about Nietzsche, was I always had it under the term, God is dead.
Because
he started the movement, God is dead, and it was written in a lot of his works. He is definitely against Christianity.
Jason, do you have a quote?
Sure. That which doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
Ooh.
That is a good one.
Without music, life would be a mistake.
Oh, I forgot Nietzsche said that one.
No.
They quoted that in fucking Here Comes the Boom. I forgot that. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, I like Nietzsche.
I like his mustache too, by the way.
His mustache is great.
Oh, God. I don't... Well, I'll look at that later.
I was giggling at his mustache. Anyways, our last birthday is Penny Marshall.
Oddly enough, when you were just talking Lori Petty, now we got Penny Marshall.
Born 1943. She recently died, the last year or so. I think it might have been this year.
Yeah, I think she did die very, very recently.
She was an American actress, best known, obviously, as being Laverne DeFazio in Laverne and Shirley. But she was also Laverne DeFazio in Happy Days and Mork and Mindy and this and that. She's been Laverne DeFazio a lot. She was in That Girl, Love American Style. She played Myrna in The Odd Couple. She was in one episode of Chico and the Man. She was in a couple of episodes of Mary Tyler Moore as Paula Kovacs. She was uncredited as a funeral attendee in front of Rob in High Fidelity.
I just watched that last night.
Now, she's in two movies that I like. One I've seen, one I need to see. It's those movies where they do, a bunch of people on a holiday, you got Valentine's Day. She was in New Year's Eve.
Oh, New Year's Eve, yeah.
And she was in the Mother's Day that just came out. I want to see that.
Hey, Upside, she's not dead.
Oh, no, it was her brother that died. Gary died.
Oh, yeah, Gary Marshall. Yeah, Gary Marshall died.
Her brother's Gary Marshall. Mm-hmm. Now, I know her because she plays Gary Marshall's wife in Hocus Pocus. She's Medusa with the snakes in her hair.
Gary Marshall died just less than 3 months ago.
Yeah, I knew it was one of the Marshalls. Gary Marshall died.
Yeah, but Penny Marshall. Oh,
Penny's still alive and kicking.
Director and producer and all that, because I believe she directed A League of Their Own. Mm-hmm. So good birthdays. Good birthdays, April. See ya. October's a good month for birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, up next.
Lots of birthdays coming up in October.
Yeah, who could we be thinking about?
Oh, well, personally. Well, when it comes to birthdays, oddly enough, I do like people with holiday-type birthdays. I have one. I'm born on Groundhog's Day. My, an old elementary school classmate was born on Flag Day. It's sad. It's I can remember her name, and it's the only reason I know is because of her birthday being on Flag Day.
If I lived in England, my birthday's on the Queen's birthday. Exactly. So mine's a holiday in England.
And then my best friend's sister, Beth, is born on Halloween, the same day as my favorite literary character, Harry Blackstone Copperfield Dresden. Most notably in the series The Dresden Files. So, with it being October and, his birthday being at the end of the month, it feels kind of appropriate that I really kind of explore my real geekiness for this book series. Now, I enjoy reading books. I've read my Star Wars books. I've read my Star Trek. I've read Piers Anthony's Incarnations of Immortality. I've read, this, that, and the other. But I happened to catch the Dresden Files right when they were starting out, back in 2000. First novel was, I believe, May or June of 2000. And, I was wandering through Barnes & Noble, and I happened to notice this. I'm just somehow I was attracted to the book. Bought it, read it, haven't set one of those books down since. So, you might be asking yourself, who is Harry Dresden?
Yeah, who is Harry Dresden?
Who is Harry Dresden?
I know nothing about... Oh, wait.
I only know him from the TV show. Please don't hate me.
I don't hate you. It was a valiant attempt. I will give you that.
I did like the show. The movie was really good.
Made me want to read the book.
There you go. Well, one of the biggest things that caught me was, right on the backside of the first book, it says, my name is Harry Blackstone... one of the first lines in the book is... My name is Harry Blackstone Copperfield Dresden. Conjure by it at your own risk. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. So, the book series, the Dresden Files series, is written by Jim Butcher, which his birthday, oddly enough, will also show up later this month. I think around the 26th. But he's, you know, an American author. His first biggest works was the Dresden Files. He originally was working on them, like, during, when he was doing college writing classes in, like, the late 80s, early 90s. And after a while, he just finally rewrote his first story. I think it was called Superstitions or something like that. And it became Stormfront, which is the first novel of the Dresden Files series. He is a wizard. Like, an honest-to-God wizard. So, I mean, it's... The whole series is, I would call it modern fantasy. Because it's, you know, the whole fantasy thing. Monsters, wizards, vampires, all that stuff.
Magicians?
Wizards are magicians, basically. Yes.
No, magicians have no real spellcasting.
Oh, Jason. Wizards.
Wizards.
No, visits.
Oh, wizards.
Visits.
Ah, that's right.
Not a lock, a wizard.
Yes. Oh, that would be a mage, right?
So, he is Chicago's only professional wizard / private investigator.
Ooh, it's out of Chicago?
It's out of Chicago.
Ooh.
So close.
Yeah. He's the main character and protagonist in the series of novels called The Dresden Files. It has 15 current novels written of right now. Yeah, 15 of them.
Wow, that's a good idea.
16th one is in production.
When the heck am I going to catch up?
Easy.
Just start reading.
Considering that the last one came out just over 2 years ago, I've been chomping at the bit until I see this next book. They've already announced a name, but he's still, as of last month, Joan Butcher is still working on the next book. But
he's trying to make it perfect. Cut the man some slack.
I am cutting the man some slack. I mean, he came out with the first dozen books pretty quickly, considering that it's been 16 years and he's put out 15 books since 2000.
It probably gets harder to keep it going the longer it goes, so
yeah.
It's going to take him some time.
Plus, he's also started out two different other series, one that's more fantasy-based and another one that's steampunk. So,
ooh!
Yeah, that one's the Cinder Spires. I haven't read any of those, but that's on my...
I've had one in my hands before.
Yep. So I've been, you know, like I said, I've been reading the book since the beginning. I haven't been disappointed at all. It's just a really good series. I mean, it is, fantasy based, but it's modern day. So I mean, it's got, you know, modern day Chicago. It's, you know, there's no goofy time traveling, nothing like that. Thank God. So you know, nothing like that. The story is told pretty much in the first person. So what you're hearing a lot of is Harry's like mental voiceover, like he's narrating the book himself. So I like that first person perspective from the book. It really has kept me in the book. Harry's kind of a wise ass.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
I know that just from the TV show.
Yeah, you've seen the TV show that, you know, last in one season. It was a valiant attempt. I give him that. I like Paul Blackthorne playing the role of Harry. I liked that.
That man was hot.
He's on Arrow, right? He's been on Arrow, so yeah, he's still looking good too. But yeah, just the series has been really good. 15 books, haven't been disappointed. What I like is that you have your individual story, but there are larger arcs through the whole thing because you have reoccurring enemies. You have reoccurring allies. I mean, not to greatly spoil anything, but I mean, one of his first major allies is a cop with the Chicago Police Department, Karen Murphy. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, she is a spitfire. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I mean, she's crazy. I mean, she has to be.
They put up with him.
She's a very dedicated, and the thing is, they've had, I mean, you see the growth that Harry and Karen have had through the book, from Stormfront, from the very first book, even through to, like, the mid-range, with, you know, middle...
They don't ever make them romantic, do they?
Oh, well...
That kind of tends to kill it, if they ruin their friendship with romance.
I'm going to say, not to spoil anything, no, you don't see some full-on romance, though there are many undertones that could want to crop up, so... But no, I mean,
undertones is one thing. Actually, acting on it's another.
Exactly. Throughout the book, you see various types of normal fantasy characters, werewolves, vampires, the fae, so fairies. You've got trolls and, just...
Acid and fire.
Well, definitely fire. Okay. Harry's primary forms of magic he likes to cast is fire and wind-based.
Yeah, that'd be totally my thing right there.
And, I mean, he's part of the White Council, which is kind of like the overseeing body of the wizards.
Oh, yeah, they're kind of mean to him.
Just a little bit. Better yet, you think he seemed mean in the series? Read the first book. You will really get a feeling of how Harry really feels about the White Council. And, I mean, you guys know how much I like him so much that I've actually even cosplayed as him before.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's a trained wizard. He's a PI. He's very knowledgeable about stuff on the spooky side of the street. I mean, he's got friends both normal and supernatural. He's very cavalier in his thinking. So, I mean, one major flaw, something's going down and it involves a woman, he's there. He's very chivalrous. So, yeah, definitely not a poster child for the White Council because he is kind of a bad boy. And, I mean, just the fact that he is considered one of the most powerful wizards of his time just because he's run into more shit in his years than most other wizards see in, like, several hundred years. And, of course, I love the little bits where he has the whole thing where wizards in the Dresden Files series have a whole thing with technology. So he's driving around in a Beetle, an old beat-up VW Bug, has no light, has no electricity at his home, has no hot water, because, well, we've seen those Mythbusters episodes where they see the water heater going and exploding. Yeah, that would probably happen to Harry within a week, so. I mean, it is just a really awesome series. And, I mean, you've had ups, you've had downs, things. The stories are really well thought out. I mean, it is ultimately, they are pretty much, fantasy crime novels because something will happen. He's going to he's in the middle of it. And
it's a supernatural case he has to solve.
Exactly. Sometimes it's supernatural. Sometimes it doesn't seem as much. Sometimes he's helping out. Sometimes he's right smack dab in the middle of the whole thing. There has been mentions before that Jim Butcher's plotted on doing like 21 case files, which is 21 books or something like that.
Hmm.
So he's on 15 right now. So, or 16. He's finished 15. He's on 16, and right now it's like, I'm not looking forward to only 6 more books being out, but, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So. He may change his mind.
Yep.
Yeah, he might do less.
April.
Oh,
but, I just reread from the beginning.
I know.
Well, everything has to come to an end eventually.
I know that. I respect that. One thing I really love is the fact that not only are the books really good, a lot of the time, and I own every single one, on audiobook, narrated by the great James Marsters.
Who was quite pleased that you brought that up at Comic-Con.
Yes, when we were at Motor City Comic-Con, and I'm like, you know what I know you're best for? Click the selfie. And he's like, what? And I'm like, your narration on the Dresden Files series. And he was genuinely, one, surprised, and two,
he
happy.
He had the surprised look on his face. It was great.
Yeah, everyone was there for him being Buffy or Torchwood.
Right.
Or for Buffy. I think he was kind of pleased that I was there for Torchwood.
Yeah, and then I just throw out Dresden Files, and the whole thing where he said, I try to do my best work there, and I'm like, I appreciate it. I was very appreciative of that. April, I have to thank for actually, nudging me with her elbow and say, get in this fucking line. You know you want to meet him. Just do it. So, 15 books, you got plenty of time, and even the audiobooks. I mean, I love James Marsters' narration of it because he brings his own life to Harry, and it is good. So pick up a novel, pick up, you know, get a free audiobook from Audible or whatnot. You know, pick one of those up. Yes, Jason.
Do you think the role-playing game is worth mentioning at all?
Well, there actually is a Harry Dresden
2010, Puzzle. And they just released a new book in 2015.
What's the dice system? Is it die 10, 20, 6?
It's an original game. It won some Origins Awards, the Golden Geek Award, and the Innies. So,
well, there is a Dresden Files game. I know they're trying to. They've ported over a version to Fate, which I think uses mostly D6s.
I wanted to get the role playing game. That would be fun.
And on paper.
Maybe one time I'll do. When I come back home here, I'll have to run a one shot of Dresden Files for us. I know that's one thing I've been wanting to do whenever I went to Gen Con.
Fate system.
Fate system. Yep. And of course, and then now they had a Kickstarter just several months ago of a Dresden Files card game, which I bought into that, and I will be getting that because yes, I'm like I saw that and I'm like, fuck yes, I'm getting that. So I Kickstarted that thing, so I'm very happy.
As long as you read the goal.
So you've got novels right now from Stormfront to Skin Game from Mr. Jim Butcher for the Dresden Files. I'm looking forward to book 16, Peace Talks, which really, hearing the name Peace Talks really makes me think what the fuck is going to happen in the books, because the book's title does kind of foreshadow things, or kind of gives you a nod towards, you know, what might happen, but, like, I was very impressed with Skin Game. Skin Game was a nice kind of revitalization of what happened, you know, of little things happening here and there. Actually, I'm looking very forward to once I finish, I'm refinishing Ghost Story on audiobook. I've got then Cold Days, back to Skin Game. I can listen to that again, and I should be very happy. But you can find Jim Butcher at jim-butcher.com. He's on Twitter as Long Shot Author because he really thought putting out the books was going to be a long shot. So luckily his long shot, you know, paid off.
Yeah.
I know he's big for being at Dragon Con. Hopefully the next time I don't think it was Cold Days. It was probably Ghost Story was coming out. I was going to see him, but he fallen ill, and I couldn't actually see him when he was going to be in Chicago. All I know is wherever he is for any kind of book signing, when Peace Talks comes out, I'll be there. I'm going to see him. So I'm very happy about this series. And if you like fantasy, if you like wizards, if you like, you know, creatures of the night, pick up the first one. Read it, enjoy it, and then get stuck reading the next 14 books because you will enjoy them.
That will be me.
That will be April.
I plan on going on Amazon as soon as I'm done cooking dinner and see how much the first one is.
There you go.
I can get ask for the audiobooks for Christmas. That's fine. I just want to read it.
There you go.
I've been wanting to read it since before I met you.
Yeah, I know. It's a good series. So, now April. So, Jason?
I got some interesting and science-y things I'd like to throw out there.
So I throw out the fantasy, you're throwing out the science. Throw out some science, Jason.
Whoa, I'm going to throw that stuff out there.
Throw the science.
All right. So, law-defying transistor smashes industry limit. Measures just 1 nanometer. So,
okay, can you de-geek that?
So a transistor is the gates in which you store your... them, or it's technically what you store in RAM as a 1 and a 0, so it's the gateways in the transistors that hold the bits in the computer.
Okay.
So making them smaller means more or transistors per area, which makes CPU smaller or allows for even more memory management, RAM management. So you can have more power behind it. Anyways, so we're hopefully going to, or in some cases, even faster memory. Because with these smaller memories, means you can bend and make, like, transactions happen faster. Because when we're bending light, like, based on gigahertz, you're actually taking the speed of light and dividing it by that. To actually measure the distance in which you can, the information transitions. Mm-hmm. So we're like at an inch right now. I mean, that was back when I was in like college years, like 15. So I haven't actually done the math or anything like recently to figure out where we're at right now with like however fast our processors are. But the thing is the faster you make them, generally, the more heat they generate.
Yeah.
So you're going to have an issue with that. So I don't know what the heat kind of dispersion kind of issue might be with these smaller gates, but they should use less power, which means less heat, possibly. So hopefully this will actually make, you know, our devices, like, you know, not need as much electricity, which means more battery life, which in turn... It just depends on architecture. So we'll see how this pans out. But that means that we're just moving forward. It seems like every couple of weeks it's nice to have something, like, we're breaking our current limits of what we've been able to do so far with technology and just basic computer structure. So I thought that was really interesting.
Cool.
So did you know that one of the U.S. election system vendors is using developers in Serbia?
No.
Yeah, well, apparently so. I thought this was kind of interesting, and once I started reading it, I'm like, well, you know, like, there's this whole entire, like, issue with, like, our voting systems maybe having backdoors or potential, like, people making things. Because we never know, because when you go into a booth, you place that vote. Mm-hmm. You are one of hundreds of, like, millions of people who are placing these, you know, votes in these machines.
Exactly.
We can't really sum the total of like, oh, well, all my friends voted whatever, so then the machine must be right, right? So if you just play with those numbers, it's easy to, like, just throw off an election.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. That's the, like, conspiracy theorist in me thinking right there. I'm like, oh, that's horrible. Like, we should not be doing something like that. But, like, I think we should be basically... I really think that these machines should be controlled by a third-party, U.S.-based, like... I don't know, Apple, you know, some big company, somebody who couldn't be, but the thing is like, it's so hard to, like, you know, any big company is liable to a gag order by the government to put back doors in. Super conspiracy theorist, like, in me thinking this kind of stuff. But, you know, it should still be U.S.-based for everything that we develop for our voting system, which is the big controversy.
Yeah, especially for our voting system.
Yeah. So, apparently, Baidu voice recognition software is more accurate than typing right now, which kind of got me thinking. I'm like, when is it going to be where I can just start having everything that I'm saying dictated automatically so it will just stop typing, period? Like, maybe one day we won't even need keyboards. Like, we won't even have keyboards on our phones. Like,
yeah.
No, like, seriously, it's just like, dictate... You know, tell Bob I said hello, you know, and it's analytic. I mean, like, it's thinking, logistics, automatically interprets what you want from it. And then, like, we just have, like, you know, like, we already have Alexa, and we can just be like, Alexa, do this for me. Notice I'm being very quiet because I don't want Alexa to actually hear me.
Right. We have the Echo that can hear you. Or when you're on your phone and you decide to say, okay, Google or something like that.
Right.
It's all voice. But then again, I'm surprised the paranoid, paranoid
yeah,
in you.
Yeah, the paranoid me, like, the thing is that thing's always listening to me right now.
Exactly.
It's listening right now. The thing is like, people have done third-party research on this, and they know that it won't send any information off until you use the trigger word.
Mm.
So long as that keeps occurring,
right.
But doesn't mean that they couldn't just simply, like, turn it on demand, like, hey, government wants to listen in on somebody.
Exactly.
Hey, could you go ahead and turn on their Alexa device to be listening to them right now? They could be listening to us right now.
Exactly.
And they'd be hearing our wonderful podcast.
Yeah!
So
members of the U.S. intelligence community... Hi, we're here for you.
Hey, oh, hello.
Hello. We love you.
Yes.
God bless America. That's the thing. I mean, even our phones. I mean, I know some of the, you know, smartphones have the thing all the time where it's always listening for your, its command word. And I don't know about you, but I mean, that's a standalone device. Your phone is automatically getting updates all the effing time. So it's like... phones can easily... We've seen phones...
Well, and that was one of the things is, like, being pushed. Is, like, we already know the NSA has the ability to turn on your phone microphone.
Mm-hmm.
That's already been a given, and it's been proven and shown in the past. So, I mean, it's just a matter of time before they start manipulating other devices in the home. With all these IoT, Internet of Thing devices being in our house, the refrigerator, if I got an IoT refrigerator, might just start listening to our conversations.
So, as I speak into my phone, hello, NSA, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah, well, I tell my refrigerator, please turn the temperature up to 68 degrees, or down to 58 degrees or something,
right,
you know?
And then the NSA figures out, why is he turning his...
It must be because I'm storing dead bodies in my refrigerator.
Or you're deciding to store, like, some kind of cold high explosive or something.
Right. I mean, obviously that would be very useful for them to know that.
Of course.
So, I mean, I'm totally cool with it as long as they're actually protecting us.
Exactly.
So. And not using the system. So
yeah, you know what? I still think that keyboards and whatnot are needed and are going to.
I bet you 20 years from now, you will start seeing keyboards disappear. Like, we will always need keyboards in the video game, but those might get replaced with controllers.
Or even haptic systems. Or haptic feedback
systems. Well, if we get to VR systems and VR takes over, then we may not. Yeah, there's even less of a need for keyboard.
But then I know, like, in April's in my work environment. The need for a keyboard is absolutely paramount because, quite frankly, I do not want to be speaking to a computer when I'm talking about
When you need to be private about certain things, that does need to exist. So I'm just saying that home-use computers may have keyboards disappear.
Yeah.
So there's always... there's going to be old people...
Hope not. I really love the feel of a good keyboard.
That tactile feedback is actually really nice. People buy keyboards just for the tactile feedback.
Hell, Susan has one with her tablet. I mean, well, okay, that's probably because so she can play WoW at work. That's besides the point. I see.
Oh, no, she has a laptop to play WoW.
Yeah, actually, a tablet. It's a Surface Pro.
Oh, yeah. Those are pretty neat and nice. So.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So, I'd be curious to see what happens.
I'm waiting for the day that they start tapping into those.
Our fitness bands.
They already have hacks. They've already used it to solve... murder cases.
That's true.
They caught somebody who killed somebody because they said they were somewhere and their Fitbit said otherwise.
Mm-hmm, because these all have most of these have GPS tracking on them.
Well, the super advanced ones do.
Right.
Like, my Fitbit Blaze does not have a GPS system.
Yeah.
So, but doesn't mean that it couldn't help record that information and send it to Fitbit, which is what Fitbit might want.
Exactly.
So it could be the fact that the third party wants that information, so it's querying my phone for my GPS.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Fitbit.
Here's a little word of advice. If you're going to wear a really smart Fitbit and kill somebody, you might want to take the Fitbit off.
If you're going to murder somebody, you should have no electronic devices with
you
whatsoever.
Yeah, you should be completely naked.
Yeah.
Well, not
literally. Just naked. No. I'll just tell you. And then go wash off, and then...
Yeah, because, you know, it's so hard to get blood out of clothing.
Rip your nails
just
off.
Just make sure you have plastic gloves so you don't leave fingerprints.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's important, too. So.
Anything else, Jason?
So, speaking of watching things and the government, so the CIA has a system called Siren Servers, which they have that could predict social uprisings several days before they happen.
Oh, yeah, right!
So, no, and the thing is what they do is they, I'm going to guess it's probably a lot, big time Twitter and Facebook, because we already know Facebook is in bed with the government. I'll be talking about Yahoo here shortly. But yeah, Facebook also has has been known to have like whatever the government wants, Facebook will give them
trending shit and stuff like that.
Just mass amounts of it. I think they do some sort of just generalization of stuff, but who knows? Maybe not, because maybe with the warrant they can
nerds
get
being nerds. It's nerds being nerds, but going on a more social level.
So awesome. Anyway, so Twitter. But the thing is, with Twitter, it's open. Like, I think the reason why the Library of Congress wants that information is so the government, FBI, CIA, can easily tap into every single FBI
into
Twitter stream.
Yeah.
So because that's a huge bed of information from certain people. I mean, there are more people who use Facebook than they use Twitter. So plus, there's more foreign entities that use Facebook than Twitter.
Right.
So that's more important.
You've also got so little information you can really convey via Twitter. Versus Facebook.
Yeah. So, but anyways, the government has been creating, and it's more of like an analytical tool that kind of recognizes it. Yeah. This kind of stuff. And I thought it was interesting. So, just going on that Siren system, it's further predicting having computers build algorithms to determine what's going to happen in the future based on social habits. Mm. I think that is pretty fantastic.
Gotcha.
So, going on Yahoo's email scanner was not a modified spam filter, is which I think they claimed that was, but a secret hacking tool, motherboard, quote unquote, So they built this piece of software so they could quickly scan for certain types of emails that the government wanted to see. And, like, it's pretty, I mean, like, for them to be on such a large scale to be able to, find this information as fast as possible, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, like, I give the pro developers and all that, like, props to them. I mean, like, that's kind of a cool tool to have. Like, well, let's just go mass regex for this thing in people's emails. So they might have already integrated it with their marketing tools. Because you need to kind of already have word filtering to, like, predict certain words so that you can market stuff to people in emails. Yeah. So it may not have been that big of a leap for them to just make this filter tool for them to... Anyways, my little corner. Also, if you get phone calls from people saying they're the U.S. government and that you haven't paid your taxes, call centers have been scamming a lot of people, so don't give your money or bank information to anybody over the phone, especially if it's the government calling. Wait for that thing in the, like, that letter in the mail.
That's a good thing about the government. They like their paper trail.
Anybody wants money or personal information from you over the phone, over an email that you don't know who it is, don't do it. Be smart, people.
Yeah. Or what you can do is tell them, I will call you back. Give me a phone number to call you back at so you have an actual landline number for them. And then go Google that phone number to figure out whether or not that's actually them.
That's how they avoided the corgi scam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn straight.
So... anyways,
good tech talk?
Yeah, that was my little tech talk there. So, April, I hear you got some top five stuff going on over there.
Well, I have a topic, too.
What is that topic? Oh, we're going to work that out later.
Yes. Okay. So, I just wanted to pick an interesting topic with it being Halloween seasonal. You know, whenever someone says the term murderer or serial killer to you, who is the first person that pops into your head?
Count Chocula.
Seriously?
Oh, it's the wrong kind of cereal. My bad. I don't know.
Ted Bundy. Only because that was the first one I really knew about.
Chris? Because Ted Bundy. Who is the first murderer or serial killer that comes to your mind?
Oh, man. Jason? But that's a Halloween movie.
Good lord, Jason.
And you want to know what these two people that come to your mind have in common?
That they're really not serial killers?
They're both male.
Oh, good point.
Oh, yeah.
Female murderers and serial killers, too.
Or you need to give the top nine female? Or top five new female?
Oh. What? For anybody...
Elizabeth Bathory?
Yes, for anybody who knows about women who've killed, some of the names that would automatically come up are Elizabeth Bathory, Mary Bell, Delphine LaLaurie, and Lizzie Borden. That's just to name a few. Mm.
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Oh, I know that, yeah.
How about Cordelia Bodkin?
Bodkin, Jason?
What is this Bodkin you speak of?
I have a murderer's ancestor in my family.
Oh, damn.
Who actually made headlines in San Francisco.
She left somebody's heart in San Francisco.
Oh. Well, it was Delaware, whatever. Yes. Luckily, this person was related by marriage.
Ah, so
she married into the Bodkin family. Okay. She was not born a Bodkin.
So you don't have crazy in your family by blood.
Right.
Well, not from her.
Right, because they had one son and he died after the dad died. His name was Malcolm Bodkin, but they called him Welcome Bodkin.
Welcome Bodkin?
He was born September 22nd, 1872.
Yeah.
This is an old story. Her name before she married Welcome was Cordelia Brown. And she was born in 1854, so she was older than her husband. Oh, no, they married in 1872. That's right. They married on September 22nd, 1872.
Mm-hmm.
So this was after they're married. Mm-hmm. They're living in San Francisco. They're well off. They're a pretty wealthy family.
Gold Rush, probably.
They have one son. I can't even think of his name.
Murdering.
So So picture this.
Murdering Bodkin.
It's a nice sunny day in a park in San Francisco, and she's sitting on a park bench, minding her own business,
mm-hmm.
and this really attractive-looking guy comes by on a bicycle, right?
Not her husband, of course.
Not her husband, of course. She meets 30-year-old John P. Dunning while sitting on this park bench.
Okay.
At the time, John P. Dunning was married with a daughter. But who knows that from looking at somebody. That didn't stop him, though. Literally, a couple days after they met, they started having an affair.
Dun, dun, dun.
She claimed estrangement from her husband.
Okay.
I read some places where it says 2 years, some places where it says 6 years. So somewhere in between 2 and 6 years, this affair carried on.
We'll say four.
It wasn't very welcome.
But, you know, he was prominent. He worked for the Associated Press.
Hmm.
And he, like, ran Associated Press. Oh. There was some kind of money laundering schemes going on in the company. He started drinking and gambling, kind of tied in together, and he gets fired.
Like guys in the 19th century do.
Mafia.
So when he gets fired, his wife Elizabeth gets mad, obviously, and moves back to the Pennington family, her father's house in Delaware, Dover, Delaware.
Okay.
They're very prominent out there. Takes the daughter, Mary, with her. So he's like, all right, she's gone. We can carry on the open now. So he moves in with Cordelia at her room. She's got a room at the Victoria, oh, what was it called? Victoria, stop, I got this.
I'm just saying you can't.
Victoria Hotel on Hyde Street. And after that, they were there for a little while. I think it was 2 months after they moved in together. He gets another job assignment. They want him to cover the Spanish-American War from Cuba and Puerto Rico. They want him to go be a journalist over there. So he has to go tell Cordelia that I'm leaving. Well, the kicker was he was also missing his wife and daughter.
Aww.
So he had decided that when he came back from his assignment, he was going to go back to his wife and daughter in Delaware.
Oh, damn. Hmm.
So she didn't take that very well. Because, you know, in her mind, it was not over until she said it was over. So, soon after he left, his wife Elizabeth over in Delaware started receiving anonymous letters mailed to her from San Francisco in the summer of 1898. And these letters would refer to her husband's affair with an interesting and pretty woman. And the letters were always signed, a friend.
A friend.
Now, in August, Elizabeth received an anonymous note, but this time it said, with love to yourself and baby, and then this time it was signed, Mrs. C.
Mm.
The latter communication was accompanied by a cambric handkerchief and a box of chocolates. So, on August 9th, 1898, Elizabeth Dunning and her family sat down to dinner at the Pennington house. And after dinner, she was passed around the candy for everybody to have some. There was a group of 4 adults and 3 children, which included Mrs. Dunning's sister, Layla Dean, and Mrs. Dunning's daughter, Mary, as well. Most of the people passed on the chocolate,
mm-hmm.
but her, you know, some of the children had like a piece or two, but her and her sister like ate a bunch of it. So that night, anyone who ate the candy became sick.
Dun dun dun.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Dunning and her sister, having eaten so much of the chocolate,
mm-hmm.
became violently ill.
Oh, damn.
So then on August 20th, 11 days after the candy arrived in the mail, Layla Dean died, her sister. The very next day, Elizabeth died. Both women suffered extremely painful and agonizing deaths.
Yeah, after 11 and 12 days, I can imagine.
The presumed cause of their deaths?
X-Lex.
Cholera morbus, a common ailment in the era before refrigeration.
Cholera?
John Dunning, still overseas when he received the news, came back to Dover 10 days later.
Mm-hmm.
When Elizabeth's dad, John Pennington, showed him the anonymous letters, including the note that had come with the chocolates, he immediately knew Cordelia That's all he'd say, Cordelia.
Damn.
So, when Mr. Pennington, suspecting that his daughters had been poisoned by the candy, he had the uneaten chocolate analyzed by a chemist who worked for the state.
Mm-hmm.
The chemist reported that some of the remaining chocolates had been spiked with arsenic.
Oh.
Oh, oh, oh.
Autopsies were not performed on the bodies because the physician in charge believed that the victims' prolonged vomiting had cleansed their bodies of the poison.
Hmm.
Mind you, this was before they'd really studied poisons.
Yeah.
Right.
And the toxicology.
Mm-hmm.
Because had a toxicology as a forensic science existed in 1898, a toxicologist would have known that although arsenic, a heavy metal poison, is excreted from the damaged cells, traces are sequestered in the victim's bone, fingernails, and the hair on their head.
Mm-hmm. I've seen stuff like that show up in, like, crime shows.
The discovery of the poison in the candy prompted a coroner's inquest. When presented with the basic facts of the case, the coroner's jury ruled that the two women had been poisoned to death by the arsenic-laced candy which had been mailed from San Francisco. So although the deaths had occurred in Dover, the authorities in Delaware requested that the case be investigated by the San Francisco Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not free and clear.
Nope.
A pair of Dover police officers bearing the key evidence, the candy, the paper it had been wrapped in, and the anonymous writings, boarded a train from San Francisco. The man who would be leading the investigation, Lees, L-E-E-S is his last name, had been appointed chief of the San Francisco Police Department the previous year.
Hmm.
So he's in charge of the whole thing. He was also an innovator. In 1854, Lees became the first American police administrator to regularly photograph arrestees.
Hmm. So the beginning of the mugshot.
As a result, the San Francisco Police Department had a large rogue gallery. Is what they called it. Like the rogues gallery.
The rogue gallery.
So, Lees was convinced that his prime suspect, Cordelia Botkin, would break down and confess if arrested. So what he did is he found her at her sister's house in Haroldsburg and immediately placed her under arrest for the murders of Elizabeth Dunning and Layla Dean. Because the suspect vehemently proclaimed her innocence, he was forced to solve the case the hard way by conducting detailed, painstaking investigation. He began by tracing the arsenic to the Owl Jug store in Market Street, where a cleric had sold arsenic in June of 1898, to a woman meeting the description of Cordelia Botkin. He also questioned an acquaintance of the suspect who told him that Mrs. Botkin had also told this woman she was worried about having to sign her name at the post office when sending registered mail.
Hmm.
The acquaintance had assured Cordelia that she would not have to sign her name on either occasion. Lees also spoke to a physician who had been asked by Cordelia to describe the effects of various poisons on the human body.
Hmm.
So, Lees also searched her room in the Victoria Hotel, and there he found the wrapping paper bearing a gold seal and a company trademark that had enclosed the chocolates in the candy box. From this, he learned that the bonbons had been purchased from the Hass candy store. I think that was my computer.
Mm-hmm.
The sales clerk at the store remembered the customer who purchased the candy because the woman had wanted half a box because she planned to add in her own homemade chocolate.
Oh.
The clerk's physical description of the customer fit the description of Cordelia Botkins. To identify the person who had addressed the mailed package and penned the question document, examiner Daniel T. Ames didn't have far to look. He was a San Francisco-based expert and was considered the prominent handwriting man in the course of business handwriting with the writings and the question documents brought to San Francisco from Dover. He confidently announced that Cordelia Botkins, to the exclusion of all others, had written the question material.
Dun, dun, dun.
Two other document examiners brought into the case, Carl Eisenschimmel and Theodore Kitka, agreed with Ames that Cordelia Botkins had written the letters as well as the address on the package of chocolates. I'm going to go on the rest of this on my own. So pretty much from here on out, they produced all the evidence for the judge, And the judge agrees, yes, we have a case. So let's take this to court. So, trial begins in early December. Can you believe on the first day there were 500 spectators lined up outside the courthouse?
Yes, yes I can.
Back then this was big news.
Mm-hmm.
She pled not guilty. And she was there when Dunning was there and admitted to having the affair with her, as well as three other women in San Francisco.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, Dunning's not quite, yeah. The judge got mad when he wouldn't answer a question of the names of the three other women, so he actually got held in contempt for, like, several days or, like, a week or something.
That's great.
Until they finally withdrew the question, then he could go back to the courtroom. What a dumbass. Okay. So, with all this going on, they brought in the handwriting examiners. The handwriting examiners is what did it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had such... In the way that they displayed their evidence, the only thing the jurors had to deliberate when they went into their deliberation room was if she should serve life or get the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So, they thought, being that, what was it? Oh... Yeah, after hours of deliberation, the jury returned its verdict. Guilty on two counts of first-degree murder. They even had time for dinner. The jury decided to recommend life. Perhaps because she was an attractive woman, and the case against her was circumstantial, other than the handwriting, and even then it was still kind of circumstantial.
Mm.
The jury chose to spare the defendant's life. But if... I also learned that in 1898, if you were a man and you confessed to killing two people this way, you'd have been hanged.
Hmm.
Not very long after the verdict. She could have been sent to San Quentin to serve her sentence, but the judge worried what would happen to her there, so he sent her to the county jail in San Francisco, where apparently, in exchange for sexual favors, she would come and go as she pleased.
Oh, jeez.
A few months after sentencing her, the judge saw her shopping in downtown San Francisco. And while Cordelia shopped downtown, her lawyer was appealing her conviction on a procedural issue. The appellate court's overturning of her murder convictions led to, in 1904, a second, less sensational trial. Once again, on the strength of the handwriting testimony, she was convicted and again sentenced to life.
Nice.
2 years later, after the great earthquake destroyed the county jail in San Francisco where she was serving her sentence, they had no choice and they sent her to San Quentin.
Yeah.
In 1908, she applied for the parole on the basis of bad health, a motion that was denied. So get this. On March 7th, 1910, at the age of 56, she died.
Mm-hmm.
The official cause of death? Softening of the brain due to melancholy.
Softening of the brain due to melancholy.
And that is my family history. She was crazy.
She crazy?
She's crazy. But that's just a little snippet into my family's past.
Oh boy, that's some geeky genealogy.
I'm like, that is like some cool Halloween shit right there.
Yep.
I was going to tell Susan about that, and I could never remember her name. Well, now I have it. I can tell her all about it.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, at work, when I'm there for 4 hours.
Yeah, whatever.
And now, to keep with the spirit of things.
Spirits!
Ooh.
And that's why these two are a couple for 5 years. Because they got some spooky minds.
I don't want anybody to think that I forgot about the top five.
Top five!
So we're sticking with Halloween everywhere. April.
Crap.
Top five favorite vampire movies.
Ooh, oh boy. Well,
let me pick up my pen real quick.
This momentary break brought to you by
Gravity. Not getting the pen.
Gravity.
Not just a good idea, it's the law.
Gravity. brought to you by Apple since 18-something or other.
No, I just had gravity, not just a good idea.
Okay. Laws are meant to be broken. Anywho, top fives.
Top
five vampire movies.
Yeah, not meant to be broken.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. No, you're not saying it right. It's top of five of vampire movies. Ha ha ha.
Blah. Number five.
What the heck?
Van Helsing.
Ooh.
Stars Hugh Jackman as vigilante monster hunter Van Helsing. And Kate Beckinsale as Anna Valerius.
I love me some of my Kate Beckinsale.
The character was inspired by the Dutch vampire hunter Abraham Van Helsing from Irish author Bram Stoker's novel Dracula.
Dracula.
In 1887, Transylvania, Dr. Victor Frankenstein creates a monster with the anticipated aid of Count Dracula, who reveals that he plans to use the creature for his own evil ends and kills the doctor as his castle is raided by a mob of villagers. And cue mob of villagers. The villagers are scared off by Dracula and his bride, who witnessed the monster and the doctor's research apparently destroyed by the fire. 1 year later, after killing the elusive Mr. Hyde at the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, monster hunter extraordinaire Van Helsing returns to the Vatican in Rome. He learns his mission to destroy Dracula, and his amnesia are penance for past unremembered sins that cause nightmares. Gasp. He is tasked with helping the last of an ancient Romanian bloodline, Vulcan Valerius and his sister Anna, who must kill Dracula before their ancestors may enter heaven. Hugh Jackman, Kate Beckinsale, Richard Roxburgh as Dracula, David Wenham, and Robbie Coltrane.
I love me some Robbie Coltrane.
I love this movie, though I haven't seen it in a long time.
I've seen snippets of it recently. Usually only beginning like 20 minutes or so, but anywho.
Now, the number four actually has two versions.
Okay.
Number four is Fright Night.
Sad that I knew that one.
The first one was in 1985. It follows young Charlie Brewster, who discovers that his next-door neighbor, Jerry Dandridge, is a vampire. When no one believes him, Charlie decides to get Peter Vincent, a TV show host who acted in films as a vampire hunter, to stop Jerry's killing spree. It stars Chris Sarandon, Roddy McDowell, Amanda Beers, and William Ragsdale. Keep forward. 2011 version. Same storyline as the 1985 version, except Peter Vincent is now a Las Vegas magician. Current cast was Anton Yelchin as Charlie.
Yep.
Colin Farrell as Jerry.
Yep.
Toni Collette is the mom.
Yeah.
And David Tennant is Peter Vincent. And also had Dave Franco in it as one of Charlie's friends.
Ah, Franco's. Them fucking Franco's, seriously.
When the new one came out, I had to promise my friend Sarah that I'd watch the original one with Chris Sarandon first. And honestly, I'm glad I did because it made me appreciate the new one just that much more as well. Because I like them both.
Yep.
Number three, Interview with a Vampire.
Yes.
This one focuses on Lestat, played by Tom Cruise, and Louis, played by Brad Pitt, and it's beginning with Louis's transformation into a vampire by Lestat in 1791. Mm-hmm. The film chronicles their time together and their turning of a 12-year-old girl, Claudia, into a vampire. She's a little bitch.
Yes, she is.
The narrative is framed by a present-day interview in which Louis tells his story to a San Francisco reporter, played by Christian Slater. Kirsten Dunst played Claudia, and you also had Antonio Banderas as Armand and Stephen Rea as Santiago. Mm-hmm. That one was all right.
The book is better.
The book is so much better. In fact, I can't remember if it's this one or the Vampire Lestat that I liked at the beginning of the book because it starts off, I am the Vampire Lestat.
Yeah.
Best way to start a book ever. So number two... Jason will know this one all too well because it was recent.
Number two.
Bram Stoker's Dracula. So we got five batty batty, four batty batty, three batty batty, and two batty batty.
April, I think you're feeling a little batty right now.
In 1462, let me just lay this out for you. In 1462, Vlad Dracula, member of the Order of the Dragon in Hungary. Romania. Where did I get hungry?
Because you are hungry.
No, because I'm thinking Elizabeth Bathory.
Mm.
He returns from a victory against the Turks to find his wife, Elisabetta, has committed suicide after receiving a false report of his death.
No!
Fucking Anthony Hopkins.
Oh.
Enraged that that his wife is now damned for committing suicide, Dracula desecrates his chapel and renounces God. God damn it.
Yeah. The whole sticking a sword into a stone cross and then blood spilling from it. I'm just like, yeah, seriously?
Yeah.
And he will rise from the grave to avenge Elisabetta with all her power, with all the powers of darkness. In a fit of rage, he stabs the chapel stone cross with his sword and drinks the blood which pours out of it.
Seriously. I mean, come on.
Flash forward. 1897. New qualified solicitor Jonathan Harker takes the Transylvanian Count Dracula as a client from his colleague R.M. Renfield, who is now crazy.
Fun fact, they actually use Renfield as a description of a type of character in Dresden Files.
He travels to Transylvania to arrange Dracula's real estate acquisition in London, including Carfax Abbey.
I love the fact that it's based on just fucking real estate, just like everything in this world.
Was that Carfax or Carfax?
Carfax.
Oh, okay.
Jonathan meets Dracula, who discovers a picture of Harker's fiancée, Mina, and believes that she is the reincarnation of Elisabetta. Dracula leaves Harker in Transylvania with his brides. Quite literally, they're like feasting on him.
Because everybody had pictures of their loved ones in their possessions back in 1899.
In 97, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, he leaves him there and travels to London to find Mina. While there, he seduces, rapes, and bites Lucy Westenra, Mina's best friend of whom she's staying with while John is in Transylvania. Now, Lucy being ill, her fiancé gets Abraham von Helsing summoned, and the rest goes from there. You know the typical story of Dracula.
Yep.
They end up having to kill her and go after Dracula.
Yep.
So,
follow the blue flames.
Gary Oldman is Dracula. Winona Ryder is Mina, which the character of Mina Harker later shows up in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And this is after this all happens.
Yep.
For geeks like us.
Oh, God, yes.
Anthony Hopkins plays the goddamn priest.
Yeah, plus.
And Abraham von Helsing.
I know, when you were just rewatching it the last night, I'm like, I never realized.
Oh, you mean the night the guild thought I was watching porn?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Lucy's freaking out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and then who's
Keanu Reeves is Jonathan Harker.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Whoa.
Richard E. Grant was Dr. Jack Seward. And Carrie Elwes plays Lucy's fiancé, Lord Arthur Holmwood.
I love Carrie Elwes, seriously.
So do I. And everything. He was in one of those short, scary TV shows where he was camping and everybody was being loud, obnoxious, and, you know, because there was, like, murders in town, so he was getting ready to go camping. Come to find out, he was killing everybody because he wanted some goddamn peace and quiet.
I just like when he showed up in a couple of episodes of Psych. That was fun. I know, like, seriously. I mean,
and, of course, you know, I liked him in the Saw movies.
Yeah, that's you. Number one! What's number one?
What could be one? Vampire Diaries?
No, movie. And then it'd be last on the list.
Oh, I think I know which one this is. Does it concern boys that might happen to be not found, but another way?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. What is it?
No, but that is a good honorable mention.
Yeah.
Cool.
Queen of the Day.
Oh, yeah.
The vampire Lestat is awakened from decades of slumber by the sound of a heavy metal band, which he proceeds to take over as the lead singer. Achieving international success and planning a massive live concert, Lestat is approached by Marius and warned that the vampires of the world will not tolerate his flamboyant public life public profile. Pretty much, yes, you've come out of the coffin, but don't tell the world about us, but you did, so now we're going to come kill you. Jesse Reeves, a researcher for the paranormal studies group Telemasca, is intrigued by Lestat's lyrics and tells the rest of the group her theory that he really is a vampire. Her mentor, David Talbot, takes her aside and tells her they know he is a vampire, and that another vampire called Marius made him. The cast, Aaliyah plays Queen Akasha, a.k.a. the Queen of the Damned.
Mm-hmm.
Stuart Townsend, yummy, plays Lestat, which he's also in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yep.
Marguerite Moreau plays Jesse. Vincent Perez plays Marius. Vincent Perez is hot. He sounds Spanish, but he was, I think, French or from Switzerland or something. Hmm. But, yeah, yum. And Paul McGann played David Talbot.
Oh, Paul McGann. The shortest doctor ever in Doctor Who history, because he was the eighth doctor.
Yeah.
He was the one in the TV movie that Fox had. Yeah, Paul McGann.
I thought I had one honorable mention, but now I have two. Obviously, Lost Boys.
Lost Boys.
Was amazing, and it's got the Corys in it.
Oh, I love you, the Corys.
Gotta have the Corys.
Yes. I'm sorry, but then again, seriously, my favorite Corys movie, License to Drive.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
So my other honorable mention is kind of a stupid honorable mention, but I enjoyed it for the trash that it was. Dracula 2000. Mainly because you got the scene where Gerard Butler's fucking Lucy on the ceiling, who's played by Vitamin C, so it's kind of funny.
You just brought back, like, nightmares.
Yep. The plot is built upon Bram Stoker's Dracula novel, with Count Dracula resurrected in the year 2000 and hot as hell, played by Gerard Butler. Matthew von Helsing, the alleged descendant of the famed 19th century Dutch medical doctor Abraham von Helsing. Yeah, medical doctor.
Yeah, MD.
Owns an antique shop in London in 2000. One night, with Van Helsing upstairs, his secretary, Selina, allows a group of thieves, led by her boyfriend Marcus, into the shop. The thieves infiltrate the shop's underground high-security vault and find a sealed silver coffin protected by a deadly defense system. Selina and Marcus steal the coffin, thinking that it's important and worth lots of money, and flee to New Orleans, Louisiana, where they have it opened, and he rains terror down on New Orleans, and Vitamin C gets turned into a vampire, blah, blah, blah. Cast is Gerard Butler's Dracula, Christopher Plummer's Abraham Van Helsing, Johnny Lee Miller's in it, Vitamin C is Lucy Westerman, Jennifer Esposito is Selena, and Omar Epps is her boyfriend Marcus, and Danny Masterson plays some guy named Nightshade.
Yeah, that's an interesting list. I've seen two of those movies.
I'm getting better at that.
Oh, what, stuff I haven't seen?
Yeah.
Well, you know, vampire movies are alright, but not one of my big things, you know. It's not something that I have to see before I die or anything like that. Hey, you know what? We're all dying.
That's why when the guy was saying in Florida that his family left, but he was staying behind for the hurricane, because he had to protect his stuff.
No.
I'm sorry. Everybody's grave is the same. Your stuff isn't going in there with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about life. It's about the experience of life. So, on that note, a wonderful idea struck us. What is on your geeky bucket list? So, I'm going to throw one out there. Get as close to space as possible. I'd seen, like, the last season of Mythbusters when Adam Savage actually got to go up in a U-2. So, I mean, he was up, like, what, 60, 70,000 feet, like, pretty much right at the edge of the stratosphere. Like,
yeah.
You know, where you could see the curvature of the Earth and all that. And, I mean, that would be an amazing freaking experience. I mean, within my lifetime, yes, we might actually even get suborbital transportation where you could go from here to Australia in 2 hours or here to Japan in a couple hours.
What? You mean like No Man's Sky?
No, Jason, not like No Man. Well, okay, maybe like No
Man's Sky. Because if you go up and then you go
if you go high enough, you can get to your other spot in like a minute or so. I don't think we're going to go that fast, but something like
Dang
that.
It.
You know, just being able to get close to space. I've always been a big fan of space. Looking at the stars, the space program, planets, all of that stuff. And I mean, that would be something I would really like to do before I die. It's just get up there as high as possible, see the curvature of the Earth, see into deep space, you know, see the stars that I can't see down here on Earth because light pollution, regular pollution, all of that stuff.
I mean, you could go to Alaska, though, and see some really nice guys.
I can, but, I mean, I want to get the best experience.
And if you go farther north, like, into, like, northern UP, Michigan, you can see northern lights.
Yeah, yeah. Or even I could go into the northwest, you know, northwest passes of Canada or, you know, northwest territory or anything like that.
Virgin's got their their privatized space stuff, too.
That's the thing. Yeah, I just want that something.
I mean, it's expensive, but once they get that actually working, which will probably be in our lifetime.
Yeah, so then, that's something Virgin on my Galactic list.
Yeah.
April, do you have something on your list?
I have a few things on my list.
What you got?
You want just one or you want them all?
Well, just throw something out there.
Okay. Let's see. Something. I can do something simple.
Okay.
I would like, before I die, to something good. Go on an archaeological dig in Europe.
Oh, that would be fun. I mean, just thinking how many millennia of history there is in Europe.
And not just all of Europe, more likely like British Isles.
British Isles, because of your family, because of family and whatnot.
But not just because I have family there, but because it's European monarch history.
Mm-hmm.
England, Scotland, Ireland, and even France and Spain is in on that.
Right, exactly.
And Germany.
I mean, you're probably also going to get some Nordic stuff too, because you know the knowing anything.
Because when the Anglo-Saxons and all that raided, they were all from other areas.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to know. I want to see it for myself.
Like, get down there in the dirt, see what pops up. Yeah.
Which is why I wanted a history degree, but it'll never happen.
Jason, anything immediate pop up on your list?
Geek bucket list.
Geek bucket list.
BlizzCon is totally on that list. I would like to cosplay. Or cosplay, however you want to do it. Either BlizzCon or just something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that's probably, I mean, after hearing your space idea, not that I want to take your idea, but that's always been kind of like an interesting kind of like idea for me. Or just even being really high up in, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been in balloons. I've been in airplanes.
I mean, I've been in planes.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
But then again, a plane where you can actually
an open cockpit where you can see everything
seriously
would be fantastic.
I know. It's like, I saw that video when Adam Savage went up, and I'm just like, I was in awe. I was in freaking awe. I'm like, holy crap. But you could actually cosplay at, like, BlizzCon or something like
that? Oh, yeah, totally. I've been actually researching how to make the, various armors, types, just weapons in general.
Oh, like with
my 3D printer, I've been looking into just clear plastic.
3D printing, Warbla, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, with Warbla, just LED lighting, using some of my nice little like wardrobe, Arduinos for some of that kind of stuff.
So
and
you would actually go full board. You'd actually do something huge.
I mean, but if I knew I was going to BlizzCon and I could plan a year in advance, I would totally do it.
Cool.
So,
I know that my bucket list is to hit up some of the biggest conventions that
are on mine too.
Yep. Like specifically, I've got my trifecta. Would be San Diego Comic-Con for, you know, movies and entertainment and stuff like that. E3 for the video games. I mean, you remember our E3 talk when just the fact that if I could have been
there, I would love to go in E3 too.
If I was there when they released the information on Fractured But Whole, I would have been laughing my ass off for probably half the thing just listening to that. And then the Spiel in Essen, which is the short version of it, and this is coming from their website, has become a mega event this year with more than 1,000 exhibitors from 50 nations and 3 additional exhibitor halls. Basically, it is a big-ass convention for board gaming or tabletop gaming.
Ooh.
Yeah, considering how big in this digital age all of this has come, you know, tabletop games have become so huge now. I mean, that is like, I hear, that's one of the big awards that some of these game companies are coming out for. They're going for an Essen Award.
Right.
You know, it's like you want your E3 Award and stuff like that.
Hey, if you get on that list, you're probably going to hit your game sold. I mean, thousands of people. I mean,
thousands of units. It's like,
yeah.
You could be the most unknown person. If your game has enough gold and you get noted as even an old award nominee. What kind of convention were you looking at, April?
San Diego.
Yeah. I mean, SDCC, come on. I mean, I would kill to go.
Well, apparently the one in Indy and Chicago are good, too, because they had well-known people that I wanted to meet there, too.
Mm-hmm. Any particular conventions you want to go to, Jason?
Besides
Blizz.
Well, BlizzCon, I'd also like to go to DEF CON, something you probably aren't interested in, but it's the Black Hat, White Hat, HackerCon.
That's not up my alley, but
I think that would be interesting, but I would not take any electrical devices with me, of course.
Of course not. No. Leave them in the room.
No. You don't even leave them in the room, because there's probably other people in the rooms next to you having fun.
You put them in a Faraday cage.
You just turn them off. Power them off.
Power them off.
And once you're outside of the city, maybe 12 to 15 miles out, then turn them back on.
Why don't you just go into the water and get international waters? You'd be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Personally, another thing, I want an hour. I would love an hour sit down with Will Wheaton. I mean, just how much influential he's been nowadays. I mean, first he was in Star Trek, and then he was Stand By Me, Star Trek. You know, he's been like really a pioneer for nerd culture lately. I mean, he's co-founded Geek and Sundry. He's done that show Tabletop and all that. Game designer, actor, activist.
Yeah, he's done a lot.
Wasn't he? He was in the Guild, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
With,
I love that show.
He was the evil.
With Felicia Day. Yeah, and that's, those two getting together. That's why they helped create Geek and Sundry and all that.
Yeah.
I know, April, there's got to be at least one person you would love to have at least an hour sit down with.
Yeah, he's one of them.
Oh, Will
Wheaton, Felicia Day, and Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion.
That's my trifecta right there.
I mean, if I had to pick another one, Brent Spiner. You know, I would totally sit down for an hour with Brent Spiner. That man is awesome. Jason, who do you want to sit down with?
Personally, Hayao Miyazaki.
Oh, there you go. Now that you got me thinking on that, I don't know if I'd go with a sit-down with Lucas or Spielberg.
I'd go with Spielberg.
Yeah, Spielberg,
or Lucas.
Totally. April?
I told you.
No one else popped up now that
David
we're talking.
David Tennant?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I go with my British trifecta. We've got David Tennant.
The recent doctors.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
You want to meet the Queen. No, not the Queen.
I would rather pet her corgis.
Oh!
No, there was a third one. I can't think of who it is now.
Sean Connery? No.
I hear he's an asshole.
So, Tennant, Cumberbatch, and, hey, Judi Dench. I talked to Judy. Nah, she'd be nice to see her kick somebody's ass.
I would probably say fuck a lot.
Yeah, that would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll add her to this one now, Judi Dench. I couldn't think of my third. But, I want to do some traveling.
I mean, do you have traveling can be a real geek thing.
I have a few.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to follow my family history to Ireland, England, Scotland, and Holland.
Mm-hmm, yep.
I would like to visit as many Civil War battlefields as possible, including Gettysburg, Antietam, and Shiloh.
I'd personally start right at Fort Sumter.
I would like to visit Savannah, Georgia. That town is nothing but history.
Okay.
Roanoke, Virginia.
Ooh, Roanoke, yes.
Want to visit the original colony site.
The lost colony of Roanoke.
Yes, I think that would be very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see Salem and Danvers, Massachusetts. Really bad.
Salem's good.
I want to go to New Orleans now that they've built it back up.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to go to do, like...
You don't need to do, like, the,
I don't want to do the drinking tour of New Orleans. I want to do the supernatural tour.
The historical.
Yeah,
there you go. That's awesome, yeah.
And then I want to visit New Zealand, where Lord of the Rings was filmed.
Ooh, yeah. I know, the funny thing is, you could actually still go to Tunisia and see some, there's still some bits of when they've, of things that they recorded for, Star Wars Episode 4, New Hope, from 77, still there. 40 years, almost 40 years later.
Australia for the Hobbiton.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Yeah. Didn't they film some of the Hobbits in Ireland or somewhere like that?
No, I think they did all the Hobbit and Lord of the Rings all in...
Something was filmed in Ireland that I'd want to see. I can't remember.
Probably some of the castles from Game of Thrones. I know they do a lot of stuff. Jason, I think you would probably agree with this one. One thing I would love to do, and I mean... It would have to be something that would be at least around for a while, and this could be an easy one, just depending. Get myself immortalized in a game. Board game,
that
video.
Would be very... Well, if you don't... The thing is you need to find something that'll catch on. And
Something that, like the fucking Leroy Jenkins bit.
My actual theory was I wanted to create a game. And I wanted to port some games over from board games to PC, is what I've been working on.
Okay.
Some of the stuff in the past. I haven't actually followed that up. Mm-hmm. But that's my idea of being immortalized is, I mean, either having my name in the game title or as the producer or whatever for a game. That would be cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you could be like the Leroy Jenkins, yeah, that would be great. And like he was at BlizzCon last year too, which is funny.
Yeah, it's just that would be I could do that. It's like it would be nice, but you know we'll see what happens. But you know it's just little things like that. I plan to live at least another 40 years, so I mean I got plenty of time to work.
You gotta work on that. You gotta figure out a way to get in that niche that people will remember you.
Yeah, well, yeah, get my niche for being immortalized, lose some weight, and then maybe someone in an aircraft will actually take me high up in the air. And then just start saving money to go to those fucking conventions and, find some kind of charity thing where I get an hour sit down with Will Wheaton. Like, I'd seen something, totally off topic. Okay. Like, I would love to help out a charity, just for, like, this pure fact. I saw that they're doing a charity sell for, Michael J. Fox's Parkinson's Foundation.
Yep.
They're selling actual Nike versions of the self-lacing shoes from Back to the Future 2.
Oh, I saw those.
All for charity.
I saw the whole row of them on the wall.
Yeah. I would love to do that, but I bet you those are going to go for $2,000 minimum.
Yeah.
I bet you. So it's like, I wish I had $2,000 right now to just drop and say, boom, I'll help your Parkinson's research, and I get this thing, memorable thing. That's
a limited run item from,
Exactly. Yeah.
Of course, it's not an investment, but, I mean, it is a means of donating.
Yeah. I mean, I know I'm saying, it's more about the experience than a thing, but, I mean, one thing
we
would
could
be
probably make you the shoes if you really want the shoes, Chris.
We'll be okay, Jason.
I'm working on that.
Okay, Jason.
My cosplay.
You know, one thing I would like to do to immortalize my name.
What would you like to do, April?
Have my geeky greeting card company take off.
Okay, Deeds. From the movie Mr. Deeds, he always wanted to write for Hallmark. That could work, though. You never know, April.
And then I wouldn't mind before I died adding an extra aspect to my event planning business. I specialize in geeky gatherings.
Ooh, there you go.
Call it like the geeky gathering section or something.
I have a feeling, well, now, things are, we're living in a whole new world in many different forms, both good and creepy, i.e. all this clown apocalypse shit going on.
But we just keep it going. Everybody keeps mentioning it. That's what's keeping it going.
I know, it's like,
and it just keeps somehow just expanding, and just more people just seem to be. And there are people now mimicking what they think is what's going on. So you see people dressed up as clowns, causing more ruckus because they're just contributing to the whole clownage.
Yeah,
clownage.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much everything I got on my list.
That was my list. Do you have anything
else? Jason, you got anything else?
No, I'm pretty good.
Okay. So on that note, because I want to make spaghetti, we are the Inglorious Geeks, so sit down.
Shut up.
And roll initiative.
All right.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. And,